biblical history. And just a quick review from last week. We started at the beginning, not in the garden, but with Noah and Noah's sons. And I'll let you guys get seated.
Can I just announce that Mike is walking on the banister?
What?
Mike is walking on the banister.
Oh, Mike.
I thought you said Mike.
Mike's sitting here. He's not on the banister.
It's like Mike Horn.
He's already had one.
Susan, I thanked you on tape for your wonderful maps. We've been taking a minute to look at them, which is very helpful when we're looking at what the Bible is telling us about ancient Israel. Does everyone have a map now? We're all good. Okay, let's start. Review. The review. So we were introduced to the Japhethites, the Hamites, and the Shemites, who were later called the Semites. That's where we get the word anti-Semitism from. We know that the descendants of Japhethites settled Europe. They went from southern Europe, places like Poland, Turkey, they eventually were at the Ukraine and then settled Europe as we know it, like the UK and places like that. It took centuries. It wasn't something that happened there at that. I wanted to make sure I said that last week, and I didn't. The Hamites settled south in Egypt and north in northern Africa, and the Semites basically settled the Middle East. Abraham was Semite. He is a significant figure, not only in Judaism, but Christianity and Islam. Jesus was a Hebrew who was a Semite. So the Semites settled the Middle East. The last thing that we talked about last week was the genealogy of Shem to Abraham. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis, or your phones, to Genesis 12. Nope, I'm sorry. Genesis 11. This is the genealogy of Shem to Abram. And I'm going to take the liberty to do this very quickly because you did a great job saying the names last Sunday. From Shem to Abraham, genealogy. Shem became the father of Arphaxad. If you want to follow along with me, I'm in Genesis 11, starting at verse 10.
Genesis 10.
Verse 10.
Genesis 10.
I mean, what did I say? I'm in Genesis 11, verse 10.
Okay. The same as over here.
Alright, Shem was the father of Arphaxad. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah. Shelah was the father of Eber. Eber was the father of Peleg. Peleg was the father of Reu. Reu was the father of Sarug. Sarug was the father of Nahor. Nahor was the father of Terah. Terah is the father of, God bless you, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And that's where we stopped last Sunday, of the genealogy of the Semites. Terah, the father of Abraham, was an idol worshiper. When he left with Abram, Nahor, and Haran, he didn't go with Haran. They left Ur of Chaldees, father, two sons and their wives, and a nephew Lot. They were originally going to Canaan. And you'll see that in verse 31 of chapter 11. Verse 31, chapter 11.
Okay.
It says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. Together they set out from Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. And we want to remember Canaan because it plays a big part of the story of, does Israel have sandals on the ground instead of boots on the ground? Does Israel have sandals on the ground and a claim to the ancient lands? And that's the whole. This is the whole part of the biblical history of Israel is because there are so many questions today. Like, well, do the Palestinians have a right to the land? Do the Israelites have a right to the land? So that's why we're looking at that. So remember, they were going to Canaan, but they stopped at Haran. And in the Bible, Haran is spelled like Terah's son, H-A-R-A-N. But in Hebrew, the location is, if you see it on your map, where are you? Oh, thank you, darling. It's H-A-R-R-A-N, and it's at the blue and the gold peak in Mesopotamia. And I'm on page 8 of the map. It says page 8, Journeys of Abraham. We good? Okay. All right. Genesis 12, verse 1. If somebody would read that out loud and just start with verse 1, please.
God had told Abram, leave your own country behind you and your own people and go to the land I will guide you to.
Okay, the study notes in my NIV version said that Father God had actually spoken to Abram before he left Ur of Chaldeans. The fact that they stopped in Haran and they lived there for a long time could very well be that Abram's father being an idol worshiper. In fact, in Haran and other parts of that part of Mesopotamia, they worshiped the moon god. And in Ur, they did the same thing. So he would be very comfortable in either big city, because they were both in that time a city where there was a lot of trade routes and trade going on. So they stayed there for a while. After Abram's father died, he made his way to, anybody know? Anybody remember? From reading the Bible prior to?
Abraham?
Yeah.
He went to Canaan,
yes. And I'm going to read from where he started out. He arrived in Canaan, and that's found. I'm sorry, I'm teaching you like I learn, and I'm going to have to go back to just lecturing, and you shaking your head at me. Because my brain is, I have little file cabinets. And I pull out of the file cabinets, and I bounce around. I'm going to go back to where I should have been. In chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram prior to that, I want to take you to a land. You're going to leave everything and everybody. And then he has the sevenfold blessing. And that's chapter 12, and it begins with verse 2, the sevenfold blessing. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's the sevenfold blessing that Abraham had received from the Lord.
All peoples, huh?
All peoples. All peoples. So, Abram left. He made his way to Canaan. He went as far as Shechem, the tree at Moreh at Shechem. And then the Lord said, and I'm in verse 7, verse 7, chapter 12. The Lord said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, this is very important, to your offspring I will give this land, and the land is Canaan, Israel. So he built an altar to the Lord there who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued to the Negev. Bethel in this reading is the same Bethel that is just outside of Jerusalem and is very important in not only the Old Testament studies but the New Testament studies. And the Negev is a dry wasteland desert. And if you want to look at your maps, I'll give you a second to see that. Again, it's this map, 8, the journey of Abraham. So he starts out with his father and his wife and his nephew, and they go to Haran. And then they come down to Shechem and Bethel, and they travel through the Negev, and that's where they stopped for a while. So there was a famine in the land. And Abram, without consulting Father God or asking for his direction, he took it upon himself to go into Egypt, because Egypt with the Nile and the more fertile ground had more food. We good? Everybody good with the map? Okay.
I noticed they followed the river going from Ur to Haran.
Yeah.
And then just were
supporting. Okay. Did that. Chapter 13. In chapter 13, Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. So we know that he went there. And does anyone remember from the story in the Bible what trouble he got into in Egypt?
Is that the one where he told the king that his wife was his sister?
Yeah. Because, and why did he do that? Why did he do that?
He was afraid they'd get killed
because his wife was beautiful and they wanted.
And that's something they did in those days. I'll kill you so I can take your wife. And then that way they didn't commit adultery.
Pastor Harry, so much better. Pastor Harry told everyone when he took the girls, where was it they went on a mission?
Albania.
He told them they were all his daughters.
Oh, gee.
Just to, lay claim to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because they pick up loose ones.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay. All right. The Canaanites, and when Abraham went up to Egypt to be fed, and, they told the lie, and they were found out, and they were sent away with wealth. We see that in 13, Abraham and Lot are now going to separate, because as they've made their travels up the river, and they've gained flock and peoples, and now they're a very big group, and their shepherds are fighting with each other. Abram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds are all fighting with each other over land and where to pitch tents. And we can see in chapter 13, if you just follow with me, Lot picks the best land, and Abram lived in, this is verse 12 of Genesis 13. Verse 12 of Genesis 13. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. When Abraham was also living in Canaan, he was not living among the lands of the Canaanites and the Perizzites. The Canaanites were worshiping different idols, but their primary idol of that day was the moon god. After Lot left, and let's look at that too. So we know that Abram is in Canaan. Canaan is eventually going to be Israel when it was the United Kingdom. So the Lord, after Lot left, and this is verse 14 of Genesis 13. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, and I am giving it, for I am giving it to you. So God has promised Abraham Canaan, the promised land, the holy land, which is tradition for the Jewish people to call that area. So, do they have sandals on the ground?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there any idea of what date that was?
I didn't write that down. Good question, though.
It would just be a guess. I mean, Moses is like 1600 years prior to Jesus, so we're probably talking 2022 BC-ish.
Thank you. So we also have to remember, too, that who else was living in this area? The Canaanites.
The ice.
All the Canaanites were living here.
Right.
Yes. So do they have sandals on the ground?
Yes.
Okay, so this brings me up to a little story. Tim brought up a wonderful question last Sunday about the Palestinians. Do they have a right to be in the land? And who are they? They are Arabs. And prior to Israel conquering the lands back in 1946, I think it is, they were known as Palestinian Arabs or Arab Palestinians. Palestinian is not a people group. It is a geographical location identification. So Arabs are under an umbrella heading of Palestinians, and they are almost all the relatives of the Shemites who settled the Middle East. So they're all descendants. I met a guy on Monday. We were talking about Israel, and he answered the question the way I wish I had told you. And he said, there are two groups of people in the Middle East right now. One group has an ideology of peace and living together, working together in peace, getting along. The other peoples have an ideology of violence and hate. And he said that, you know, the two are never going to come together. Even though we pray for peace in Israel, and this is his theology, his viewpoint, he said it's never going to happen until Jesus comes back, which I think we can all agree is probably what is going to happen. Because when we will look back at this part of Genesis, the story, Abram and Sarai took it upon themselves to get ahead of God and bring his promise to them of a child into existence through Ishmael. The Muslim Arabs claim Ishmael as their father. So, what happened to Ishmael when he was around 14 years of age and Isaac was born and was a toddler, 2 to 3 years old? What happened?
Sarah
thought that he was mocking Isaac, and you know that jealousy, that rivalry, that challenge that Ishmael may have had with Isaac, the promised son, what their choice was, what their decision was, Abraham and Sarah, to take it upon themselves to make God's promise happen, has caused animosity through the ages that we're seeing even today.
I think that we'll find both of those mindsets in both groups, though.
Oh, yeah.
Peace and war.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah.
It's not until you get all the peace of people together.
Right. And since you brought that up, and I'll take a minute to do that, too. You made me think all week, Timothy. And I think most of us as Christians, daughters and sons of the Most High, we don't have hatred towards the Palestinians. We hate what they did on October 7th and what they've done down through the time. And I think almost all of us know that they have been fed an ideology. They have been fed a theology that is hate and violence and a mindset to wipe out the Israeli nation off the face of the earth. We know who's behind that.
It's like the Muslim version of the Crusades. I kill in the name of my peaceful God.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, as Christians, and we're praying for Israel, and we're praying for the Palestinians who do not live in that ideology. In fact, if you guys remember in the very beginning of October 7th when Israel first attacked Hamas and there were civilians killed, that's a very unfortunate thing of war. And there was an older woman, a grandmother, she was screaming, this is Hamas's fault, this is Hamas's fault. And it had been recorded and went through the airwaves. And there was a son, maybe, an older guy that was maybe in his 20s, hushing her, because you don't speak out against the Hamas government. And that's what, they're an entity by themselves. Palestine, when they were in Gaza, the Jewish people left that area for peace. Did you guys know that? The Palestinians and Israelis all lived in the Gaza Strip. When Israel took over, when they conquered in 1946, and they tried a peaceful solution, it wasn't working. So Israel withdrew 50,000 people from the Gaza Strip. And then Hamas came in and became the ruling government. And in the school districts in Gaza, from little on, these kids were taught to hate the Jews and that it was their right, their honor, their religion to kill Israelis. So that's what Israel is fighting against. It's an ideology that has been instilled in people who, if they had not been under this radical Islamic mindset, they may have been able to peacefully live. Does anyone have anything they want to add to that? Or okay. Where am I?
I was just going to say, I think it's important to recognize, like Tim said, it's just like here in our country. If someone would ask you, do you agree with your government's stance on, then you might not.
Right.
And it's similar in every nation. So, you know, just because someone's Palestinian or someone's Arab or so, it doesn't mean that they are in agreement with Hamas or that bless you or that war ideology. They're just under the authority of
it. Right. And unfortunately, they don't have a lot that they can do. We know from reports that Hamas is using schools, hospitals, mosques, using the civilian and those kind of areas that most nations, even in conflict with you, are not going to bomb or attack. So they're using their civilians as a shield. But we'll talk about that another day. Let's get back to... I'm going to go to chapter 14. Abram rescues Lot. If you want, please read that on your own, because I'm going to fly through here the next 10 minutes. What you read about that, what happened. But I want you to turn to...
Where is that at?
Genesis 14. I want you to turn to Genesis 14, verse 18.
What do you want us to read on?
The beginning of chapter 14, where Abram rescues Lot. And I'm sorry, guys. I had like maybe 3.5 hours sleep last night. I am all over the place.
You're not as scattered as you
are. Oh, I feel like I'm so scattered.
You're not at all.
I have another call.
All right. Genesis 14, 18. I'll read it because I'm trying to go faster. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying... Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivers your enemy into your hand. He's in Canaan, and Melchizedek means my king is righteous, or my king of righteousness, and Salem is a shortened term for Jerusalem. And it's related, and Jerusalem is related, or Salem is related to the Hebrew word for peace. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham in the area of Jerusalem. So sandals on the ground. Chapter 15. In chapter 15, this is God's covenant with Abram, the promised son, and we're going to look at verse 7. In verse 7 again, Father God is saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. One more point of evidence. And then let's look at verses 12 and 21. In verses 12 and 21, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Where are they at?
Egypt.
Egypt. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your father in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites have not yet reached its full measure. There is so much theology and stuff in here, but we're looking at, did Israel have sandals on the ground in the Ancient of Days in the... Kingdom of Israel. The next one is chapter 16. Ishmael is born because of the choice that Sarah forced Abram into. Does that sit well with the men? Okay. We know that Ishmael means God hears, and this was what was said about Ishmael, because remember, Sarah had run away from, Hagar had run away from Sarah because she was pregnant. She was sort of, and Sarah, and ladies, how it would be, a little bit of jealousy there. So anyway, the angel of the Lord tells Sarah, your son will be called Ishmael. He will be a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone will be against him. He will live in hostility towards all his brothers. One more explanation of what we see in the Middle East. In chapter 21... And I do encourage you to go back and read in depth all of this. I'm just trying to prove that Israel was in the promised land. In chapter 21, we have the birth of Isaac, and Ishmael is sent away. In chapter 24, Isaac marries Rebecca. And wasn't that a mess? Does anyone know what that big mess was all about?
Rebecca, I thought he went to the family gave him to her willingly, or gave her in willingly. It was Jacob that had the big mess with Laban and Rachel.
Well, Isaac did not, and you're right, I got ahead of myself. You are right. Isaac didn't go pick his wife himself. Before Abraham died, he told his servant, don't let Isaac marry any of the Canaanites, any of the daughters of the Canaanites. Go back to my people and get my daughter. And I'm sorry, I did get ahead of myself there, Susan. Thank you for that.
They went and they were like, sure, pick her.
Yeah, and she said, okay, I'll go. So, in verse 25, Jacob and Isaac married Rebecca, and they had Jacob and Esau. And what happens here is, in verse 23 of chapter 25, the Lord is telling Rebecca, you have two nations in your womb, and two people from within. You will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So there again, we see the animosity now between brothers. And they are still in the land. And then chapter 35, Jacob returns to Bethel. Oh, I'm sorry. 29, Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. And 35, Jacob returns to the land of Bethel, the land of Canaan. Okay, that was to take like 20 minutes, so I did it in maybe three. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He is the father of the Israelites. And in chapter 37, you can read all about his son Joseph and the dream and his bragging to everyone and causing his brothers to be mad at him and throwing him in a pit and selling him into slavery. And that's where we're going to stop because we're running out of time. When I see you next Sunday, please bring your maps back. If you have any questions, I know I threw so much out there, but what I hope I proved with the scripture that we were looking at, that Abraham was in Canaan, he stayed there a long time, his son became the father of the Israelites, and they do have a biblically, historically claim to the land. Okay. Would anyone like...
One question.
Yes, please.
This is just the present day. You hear a lot about the West Bank and the Golan Heights.
Yes.
Now, is that Palestinian controlled also? Besides the Gaza Strip?
And that is a lesson down the line. When Israel free Jerusalem and that sounding area, surrounding area, the League of Nations gave them governmental rights over certain places in that area, and then the Palestinians were given governmental rights also. So we're going to break that down and talk about that then. But I think presently, those of you that have visited Israel, you have traveled to Palestinian territories to visit some of the holy sites from the Bible, because it is under the POL, the Palestinian PLO. Oh my goodness, I need more than 4 hours of sleep. So we'll finish that.
The other reason why those, you always hear about those areas, is because of the strategicness of the lay of the land. to like heights, Golan Heights. You're talking about elevation over, like when you're in the Sea of Galilee area, the Golan Heights are up above you. So whoever's the king of the hill has advantage. So that's why Golan Heights are always an issue.
Any other questions? Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry that that was all over the place today. If you have questions, write them down, and you're welcome. I'll try and answer them next week. But I want to get. I'm trying to get through the biblical history of where Israel settled so that we can start talking about the world events, like what happened in Spain to the Jewish people. Because once AD 70 happened and Rome, there was a remnant of Jewish people left that were not killed, that did not flee. Rome, mistreatment of them, they did go to other nations, including like Spain and Portugal and places like that. So we want to talk about where the diaspora was, where the dispersing of the Jews was. The small amount of Jews that stayed in Canaan, that stayed in Israel, we need to talk about that too. But we also need to talk about the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon, and we need to talk about the divided kingdom, what happened and where that land was, and all that stuff. So we have a lot to get through, and I am not teaching in December.
Take your time.
All right. I'll just close this very quickly in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for our church family, Father, and we pray for great unity in our church family, which I think we already have. But just take us deeper in our walk together as we are in our walk with you, Father. And just open up our minds to what you are, the Holy Spirit, is teaching us and telling us. And let us just grab hold of everything that we can until Jesus comes. And in his great name we pray. Amen.